This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
So excited to be here today. I'm so excited you've joined us. I know that God's got a word for you. Today, I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects. I'm talking about possessing the promises of God. You see, this book is a book that's full of promise. This is a book full of hope. This is a book full of life. I cannot handle people that take this book and turn it into a dead, boring bunch of rules and regulations and try to bash people over the head with it, because it is full of promise. It is full of hope. It actually relates to every part of our life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. This book is full of promise and hope. And you know what the good thing is about God? When God promises things, he's not like my kids. I have my little Sophia, she's still learning what truth really means, because it's quite relative to her. She'll go, "Mom, I promise, but I had my fingers crossed behind my back," as if somehow that means that the promise doesn't keep. Or some of us, we've been let down because people have made promises. Perhaps they promised to stay married to us forever and they've walked away. Or perhaps they promised they're going to be there for us and they've betrayed us and they've left us. Well, that's not the kind of promise that I'm talking about, because sometimes when I talk about the promises of God, people think, well, you know, is this God going to be like my father that walked out? Or is he going to be like my ex-wife that walked out and left me? Or is it like my kid that crosses their fingers behind their back and they're really lying? Well, I'm here to tell you that's not what I'm talking about. Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should change his mind. Now, this is a case that God is definitely not a woman, because a woman has the prerogative of changing her mind every 35 seconds. But right here, it says, God is not a man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? That's what I love about this word. God said it, God will do it. If God promised it, he said it. There are no expiration dates on the promises of God. I know there's someone, and you're in your lounge room right now, and you think that God has forgotten you. God has spoken a word to you a long time ago, a word of hope and a word of promise, and you think he's forgotten it. But I'm here to remind you that God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will do it. He will come through. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says that no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. All of the promises of God are in Christ, yes, and in Christ, amen. God has promised that he will never fail. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has promised us that all things work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, you might have been going through something that's actually not good, something that's really bad, and you think, can this work out for good? Well, God has promised that if you trust him, he will take even the bad, broken pieces of your life, he will weave them together, and he will work them together for your good and for his glory. That's the promise of God. He's promised us salvation. He's promised us healing. He's promised us deliverance. Do you wonder why the devil does not want us to read this book? Because this book is a book of hope and light. And if he can make us think that this is boring, that this is irrelevant, that this is not true, we will not go to this book to lay a hold of the promises of God. If you need healing today, God's word brings healing into your life. God's word can bring deliverance, restoration, reconciliation. This is a book of life. These are the very words of God spoken to us to turn our life around. Well, here is the deal. If this is a book that's full of promise and this is a book that's full of hope, then why do some of us seem to walk into the promises of God and others don't? Now, I know a lot of people think, well, Chris, does God have favorites? Why does that person walk in the blessing of God or the prosperity of God or the fullness of God or the favor of God, but I don't? Well, the truth is every one of us has the same access to the same promises from the same God, but not all of us access those promises. And that is because some of us are willing to do what it takes to go in and possess. And for the next 3 weeks, we're talking about how to possess the promises of God, because too many Christians are living so far beneath the promise of what God has for their life. We are not walking into the abundance and the blessing and the prosperity that God has for us because somewhere along the line, we believed a lie. Somewhere along the line, we thought, I'm not God's favorite. Somewhere along the line, we think, well, I've failed. I've messed up. God can't bless me. But I'm here to tell you that if God said all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes and amen, that That means those promises are for you. Healing is for you. Deliverance is for you. Salvation is for you. That God has an awesome purpose, plan, and future for you. So we're waiting on God to drop it out of the sky. And God says, I'm waiting for you to go in and get what I've already promised you to get. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, I love this because the Lord says, I have set the land before you. Now, check out these words. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. So God says, I want you to go in and take possession. Now, too many of us have grown up with a kind of kumbaya Christianity. Or actually, if you're as old as me, you would know who Doris Day is. And she used to sing a song. I won't try to sing because that will mortify you. But there was a song like, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. That's heresy. That is just wrong. We do not live according to the gospel of Doris Day. It is not a que sera, sera Christianity, whatever will be. God says, I've promised it. I need you to go in and possess the very, very thing that I've promised you so that you can lay a hold of the purposes of God. In Joshua chapter 18, verse 3, it says, so Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? And I want to ask you that today. How long will you put off taking possession of the land? That's what we're talking. That's what's on the table for the next 3 weeks. I'm asking you, how long will you put off? We live in chaotic times. We live in urgent times. There is so much going on around us, and we need the people of God to step into the promises of God, to lay a hold of those promises so that we can be blessing and prosperity to the world around us. How are we going to be salt and light if we ourselves are not partaking of the promises of God? So we have got to make sure that we go in and possess. God wants us to possess what He has already given us. And I think this is the missing link for a lot of Christians. A lot of us are sort of just waiting. We just think, you know what? If God wants to drop it into my lap, God will drop it into my lap. And God's saying, I've already given it to you. I need you to go and get what I've already given you. And if we could understand that God has done everything that He could do, now it's up to us to do our part, that we've worked together with God. That's how it works here on this earth. We partner, we are co-laborers with Him. We go in to possess the promises that He has for us. Many of you have lived bound to that addiction or in a wrong relationship or just with a negative thinking pattern, and you think you can't get out of it. But I'm here to tell you that this word promises freedom. It promises life. Jesus said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. That's what Paul writes to the Galatians. And so we don't have to live bound 1 second longer. We can move into the fullness of the freedom that God has for us. So how long? That's my question. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to land there. How long are you going to wait to go in and possess? Because I believe that you've tuned into this broadcast right now in the timing, the plan, and the purpose of God to find your deliverance, to find your healing, to find your breakthrough, to move past where you are into the fullness of the promise that God has for you. Jesus loves you so much, has such an awesome plan, purpose, and destiny for your life. And He died on a cross and rose again from the dead, not so that we can just have our whatever will be kind of life, but where we can go and have an abundant, overcoming, victorious, Christian life. He says, I didn't come that you might just have life, but that you might have life and life more abundant. And it is about time that the people of God on this planet begin to live a victorious, overcoming, abundant, passionate, purpose-driven life. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited, that's for sure. So on that note, we're going to turn to the book of Joshua chapter 5, and I love this text, and we're going to be here, so you're not going to want to miss any one of these because we are going to land in Joshua chapter 5, where really what this does is it records the first actions of Joshua and the Israelites in Canaan after they had crossed the Jordan and memorialized it with the stones. So can you imagine how they felt? 470 years in slavery, that were 430 years in Egypt in slavery, and then 40 years doing laps around Mount Sinai in the wilderness. That's what they were doing. They were getting dizzy, doing laps, murmuring, grumbling, complaining. I'm getting dizzy myself, so I might stop. But the point is that they, for 470 years, had not possessed the promises of God. They were in slavery. They were in the wilderness. Now, can you imagine what it would be like? Finally, the River Jordan's pushed back. They've got their memorial stones. They're now in Gilgal and they are in Canaan about to possess this promise that God said that he had for them. The possession of the land was before them. The Canaanites were terrified of them and they were about to go in. And this is what I want you to know. This is really what we're going to talk about. Every time we are about to possess new territory and there is always going to be an attack of the enemy and there are certain things we need to do to step into the fullness of what it is that God has for us. Now, in Joshua chapter 5, they're right there on the edge at Gilgal. They're about to go in. And I want you to see this because there are certain things that God says you're going to have to do before you go in and possess the land. The Bible says, as soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they crossed over, their hearts melted and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. And all the men just said, ouch, okay. I just need you to know there was no anesthetic. I just won't even go there. Thank you, Jesus, that I am a woman. That's all I want to say right at this moment. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel, our Gilbeath Haloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. You would want a reason to be circumcised when you're an adult male with no anesthetic. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised. I know there's a lot of circumcision happening right here, but it's in the Bible. I told you, it's not boring. People try to make it boring. This book is full of life and circumcision. Okay, and so, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished and all the people said amen, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Indeed, until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal till that day. Maybe you're in Gilgal right now. And that's what I believe that I'm speaking to. See, what happens is the Lord said, there's something that you have got to do. If you want to go in and possess the promises of God, here we are at Gilgal. This promised land has, and God has promises for you, for your marriage, if you're married, in your single life, in terms of abundance, for your finances, for your health, for your flourishing in life. The word of God is full of the promise of God. But if we are going to lay a hold of those promises, remember, God's not going to drop something out of the sky that he's already given us. He wants us to go in and get what he's already given us. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, there are certain things. And the first thing that we're going to have to do, without any exception, is that we are going to have to cut away certain things. In fact, in here, all jokes aside, the Lord was saying something very serious to the children of Israel. He said to Joshua, I want you to circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. And you go, why would he do that? And essentially, a whole generation that had come out of bondage, a whole generation that had come out of captivity, they had had their own cutting away. They had had their own circumcision. They had paid their own price. But now another generation grew up in the wilderness. Another generation was ready to go in and possess the promised land. But the Lord said, before you go in to possess, you have to have your own cutting away. What is God saying? He's saying that this generation cannot get into their promised land based on the price that was paid by the generation before them. Every generation must pay their own price. Now, you and I live in a world of entitlement where we have a whole generation that's raised up that just thinks, hey, I deserve this. I should have this. But I need you to know that if you are going to step into the promises of God, every generation has to pay their own price. There is obedience for every generation. There is sacrifice for every generation. There is a cutting away of the flesh for every generation. There are no free passes into the promised land. Jesus died to give us our promises. We need to go in and possess our promises, but we're going to have a cutting away. away. The writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament says it like this. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? The weights and the sins that so easily ensnare us." The fact that the writer to the Hebrew uses two words, weights and sins, suggests to me that there's a difference between a weight and a sin. And you might be thinking, why am I not possessing God's promises? Well, it could be weights that are in your life. You go, well, a weight is not a sin. So a weight could be the people that you're hanging out with. Good people, good Christian people, heaven bound. There's no issue. But the truth is, you get into a faith environment, you start reading the word, you start deciding, I want to go more full on for God. I want to lay a... And then you get around these Christians, and suddenly you've just taken five steps back. They're like, you know what? You don't have to be that committed. You don't have to give that much. You don't have to serve that much. You don't have to go to church that much. You don't really have to be that morally pure. You don't really have to not entirely tell that, you know, they'll try to make it, just water it down a little bit, dilute it down a little bit, dilute your commitment down, your faithfulness down, your loyalty down, that sense of being all in for the purposes of God. And you know what? The greatest gift you can give to yourself is cut it away.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we're ever ugly to people, but it does mean that if you care about your destiny, then you might have to make a decision to leave some people behind so that you can step into what it is that God has for us. Not everyone's going to come with you. Yeah. And that's the bottom line. I sit here and I think at 50 years old, where are the thousands that stood on altar calls when we were in youth ministry together saying, here I am, Lord, send me to the nations. And, you know, I did that and we were so keen. And I remember in those days, we were so enthusiastic, man, we just wanted, if we were ever going to get married, we were just going to marry the man of God. You know, the elite, the Navy SEAL, the one that God had for us, that man that was going to step into destiny with us. Well, you know, and you say, Lord, I'll do anything. So we're serving in youth ministry and you're not going on any dates because you're waiting for the elite one and all your friends are getting married. Now you're 24 and you go on an altar call and there's not like hundreds or thousands anymore. There's just a few dozen where you go on that altar call and say, Jesus, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll serve you. I will go and I'll go to Siberia. I'll go to Mongolia. I'll go to anywhere for the sake of the gospel. And but Lord, would you just bring me a nice Christian man? So you've gone from the man, the elite Lindt chocolate, to now you go, God, I'm giving you a few more options, like Christian, just Christian, you know, so maybe like Hershey's, like just, you know, like there's lots of Hershey's in here we can have. And then so now you're still driving 14-year-olds to youth group because you told the Lord you'll do anything. You're putting out the chairs. You're still earning like $50 a week for serving in the youth ministry. You own one pair of jeans with holes. They cost a lot now, but back then, you know. And so that's what you would do. And all your friends now are having grandchildren and they're buying investment properties and you're still serving the Lord. It's all for the Lord. And now you get to 28 and it's just like five of you on an altar call now. Like, you know, Lord, here I am. Send me to the nations. I'll go anywhere. Just male, just a man. Like, you know, and so by, and then you get to 50 and you go, where is everybody? Where is everybody? I said I was going to follow Jesus. I wasn't using Jesus to get married. I wasn't using Jesus to have kids. I wasn't using Jesus to get a house. I said, I will follow you wherever for all of my days. And so I've had to cut lots of things off along the way because there's a lot of people, good people, but they wanted to settle in the wilderness when I wanted to go into the promised land. And that meant that I had to make some decisions. And it's probably been the greatest cost to me because I love people so much. And I love, and sometimes one of the greatest mistakes probably that I've made is that I've cared about someone's destiny more than they have. And so I have lingered back with them longer than they have because I've so wanted them to come into the promised land with me. But there are times where you've just got to cut it off because they're not going to come with you. You can love them, but you've got to love them from a distance. And that could be a word for someone today where you're like, wow, I don't want to hurt someone, but you're hurting your own destiny by staying somewhere where you're not supposed to be. It could be a level of thinking or a level of giving. I mean, you can choose what is a weight. And a weight is normally a good thing. It's something that helped get you where you are. But now it's become an anchor and a weight and it's holding you back from where you need to go. It could be a level of thinking. It could be just where you are in life. Or it could be a sin. Now, I know we don't like to use that word very much because it makes people feel uncomfortable. I know that. But the truth is that, you know, when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer a couple of years ago, when I went to the doctor and he diagnosed me with thyroid cancer, I did not need him to say, Christine. Now, he's looked at the scans and he knows it's cancer, but he doesn't want to hurt me and he doesn't want to offend me. So he's going to come out of that room where he has examined the results and he knows exactly what is wrong with me. He knows what the diagnosis is and he also knows what the cure is. But because he doesn't want to hurt or offend me, he's going to come around and say, well, Chris, you've got a little cold and here's a Tylenol. Now, you would all think that he's stupid and very mean and you could actually sue someone for malpractice for knowing what the disease is, calling it something that it's not and giving you the wrong prescription for that disease. Now, every time we tell a generation there's nothing wrong with sin because we don't want to offend you and you're okay and we're saying take a Tylenol when I actually know chemotherapy is what you need, then we are actually damaging a generation. That's not love. You do not throw out truth in the name of love. You speak the truth in love, and that's what we need to do. And so what we need to do is to understand that sin is killing us. And here is the good news, that the blood of Jesus sets us free. There is no sin that is too big for God to forgive. This is the great news of the gospel of grace, that you don't have to live bound by that sin. You don't have to live bound by guilt or condemnation or fear. There is nothing that you have done that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He loves you. His blood covers every sin, every iniquity, but you have to reach out and say, I'm going to receive that forgiveness. Jesus, I need to repent and I need that grace and I need that life. Not telling people about sin is actually not loving. Yeah. Loving them is not denying that it's killing them. And let's not confuse tolerance with endorsement. We don't have to endorse things because we don't want to seem like we are negative or critical or judgmental. Speaking the truth in love is what the scripture tells us to do, not throwing out the truth in the name of love. You cannot have love without truth. And so the writer here in the book of Joshua says, you know what? You need to circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. What do you need to cut away today? Maybe endless wasted leisure time. You need to make more time. Sometimes you think, I can't do the will of God because I don't have enough time. Well, you actually do have enough time. Maybe you just need to stop watching so much TV. Or maybe you need to get off your phone and stop playing so many games. Yeah. Now, I know this, you know, some of you think she's meddling now. Like, I don't want to get off Pinterest because, you know, Pinterest is not worth your destiny. That's all I want to say, you know. And you always, you feel worse when you come off than when you go on. You always thought your house looked wonderful. Your lounge room looked beautiful. Your bedroom was awesome until you got on Pinterest. And then all of a sudden you saw your neighbor's bedroom and suddenly you wanted to upgrade yours. And so my deal is that some of us are wasting a whole lot of time and we need to cut that away. And so we need to cut away some of the wasted thoughts that we have, some of the things that we're reading that are just wasting our life and wasting our destiny. You have more time than you think. Some of you need to get off the phone and stop calling your friends and, you know, talking about one another's prayer needs, which is just a secret code for gossip. And so, you know, maybe if you stop gossiping or slandering or get off your blogs and your negativity and your fear and your doubt, you would create a whole lot more time to go in and possess the promises of God. A lot of us just think, I'm too exhausted. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I can't go in and possess the promise of God. And the Lord says, you know what? You need to cut away certain things. We have a generation and it is our time to do some cutting away. We need to cut away certain things so that we can make some room to go in and possess the promises of God. I want to remind you that this word is a book of hope. It's alive. I wish you could see it moving. This thing is alive. It is not dead. It is full of life. It is full of hope. It is full of purpose. It is full of destiny. It has promises pertaining to every aspect of your life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially. All the promises of God, Scripture tells us, are in Christ Jesus, yes, and in Christ Jesus, amen. And I want you to make sure that you join us again next week as we go in and continue in this series on how we are going to possess the promises of God, because God's got great promises for you. You've not done the one thing that has separated you from God that means you can't possess His promises. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. All His promises are for you in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. I'll see you next week.
For more, see the show notes or go to ChristineKane.com and connect with Christine on your social media of choice. New episodes of Equip and Empower drop every Monday and Thursday. If you haven't already, subscribe now so you never miss an episode.